Please turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And let us read verses 11 and 12. For those of you who are visiting with us, we have been studying the book of James, and tonight's message is part 44 of our series, part 44. Let's read verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. I have 2 points in this message under the theme, Do Not Judge Your Brother. First, we'll look at the meaning of the command in verse 11. Because there is an imperative in verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another. That's a command. So we're going to look at the meaning of that command. Second, the reason for that command. And I have 2 reasons which I hope to give to you as we go through this message. So let's look at the first point, the meaning of the command. In the original, the word evil in verse 11 does not appear. And so, literally, verse 11 reads, Do not speak against others. It means, do not slander. Do not speak maliciously or falsely against another person. It also means, do not revile. Do not use scornful language against others. It also means do not backbite. Do not attack the reputation of someone who is not present. Now, interestingly, the Good News Bible version translates verse 11 this way. Do not criticize one another, my friends. This is a bad kind of criticism. And notice that in verse 11, James is specifically addressing his brothers in the Lord. Notice verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers or sisters in Christ. In other words, this kind of problem, the problem of gossip, the problem of slander, the problem of backbiting, or the problem of criticism can exist among believers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, and denote, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. These problems also present among the people at the Corinthian church. These are the members who verbally abuse their fellow members in the Lord. You see, slander is a form of verbal attack, which sometimes is more painful than physical attack. And I'm afraid that this problem that James is addressing in our text is also present among us. And I'm afraid too that this problem also exists in many homes, many families of our congregation, where parents unnecessarily yell at their children when they discipline them. That's a form of abuse, verbal abuse. How often a child is emotionally and verbally abused by his or her parents. Well, the Bible forbids us to exercise that kind of sin. In fact, both Paul and Peter condemn the sin of slander. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Now here's the question. Why? James, why take this matter so seriously? Do not speak evil against one another. Why? Well, he gives us two main reasons. And this will transition us to our second point, which is the heart of this message. Here's the first reason. When you speak against your fellow believer, you become a judge. In the first place, you become a judge of your brother. Look at verse 11. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother. In this context, speaking against a brother in the Lord is the same as judging your brother in the Lord. And the one who judges his brother in this verse refers to a church member who finds fault with another in order to condemn him. And I wonder if we have a member in our congregation who is very judgmental. A member who judges and criticizes others in a negative sense. A member who always looks for mistakes in others, not in order to help them with their mistakes, but in order to condemn them and to show that he is a better person than they are. Someone has rightly noted, criticizing others is dangerous, not only because it is a form of selfishness, but also because the critic exalts himself even over God when he or she criticizes. Because he who has a very critical spirit is self-exalting. Because when you criticize your brother in the Lord, you must conclude that you are right and that he is wrong. And so when you do nothing but criticize, you are implying that you are always right and that your brother or sister in the Lord is always wrong. And therefore, in the mind of James, a judgmental member or believer is a proud member because he thinks highly of himself. Remember, previously, James says in verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord. He is dealing with those proud members of this congregation. And now, he says, do not speak evil against one another. Because when you do so, you become a judge of your brother. And this kind of person too is quick to criticize, but slow to serve. A man came up to D.L. Moody, and we know D.L. Moody. He was a great evangelist by God's grace. So a man came to him and criticized him for the way he went about soul winning. Moody listened courteously and then asked, how would you do it? The man, taken aback, mumbled that he did not do it. Well, said Moody, I prefer the way I do it to the way you don't do it. And how true that mostly, I'm not saying always, but oftentimes, those who love to criticize their brother or sister in the Lord are those who don't do anything for the Lord. They are those who just sit there like spectators. They just love to observe and look for something that they can judge or criticize. If you want to criticize, let's say, an organist, maybe you think that the organist plays too fast or too slow, then try to play. And you will realize how hard it is to play the organ. And you will be less critical because now you can relate to that. And usually also, a person who speaks evil against one another, against his brother or sister, is a person who is not an encourager, but a discourager. Now, lest we misunderstand James here, James is not saying that we should not correct one another. That's not the point of James. We are. Please correct me if I am wrong. And I will correct you if I am wrong. But the point of James is this, that when we correct one another, or if you want to use the word criticize in a positive sense, then do it in a spirit of gentleness and humility. And isn't it that's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him, how? In a spirit of gentleness, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. That's what we need to do. And we correct one another. Do it in love. Now, secondly, when we speak against our fellow believer or against a brother in the Lord, we not only become a judge of our brother, but we also become a judge of the law. Look at verse 11, please. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother, listen up please, speaks evil against the law and judges the law. And so to speak against your brother is to speak against the law. How is that possible? Well, because the law says Love your neighbor as yourself. And so when you slander not only your brother, but even your neighbor, a fellow human being, when you backbite that person, you transgress the law of God. You become a judge of God's law. In what way? Well, in two ways. First, when we condemn or criticize our fellow believers for the things that God does not condemn. When you forbid your brother to do the things that God allows. And really, this is a form of legalism. You know, Paul has a very good advice to strike this balance in Romans chapter 14. If you want, you can go there. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? And when we do or say to our fellow believers that which the law does not allow us to do or say, we also become a judge of our fellow believers. And then finally, when you speak against your fellow believer, you become a judge of the law giver, who is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. There is only one lawgiver, the judge, who is able to save you, or who is able to save and destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? What James is saying is this: do not take the judicial roles that belong only to Jesus Christ. You do not have the right to make a law and bind the conscience of your brother to your man-made law. I remember when I was a student, there was another student who would say that playing basketball is not good because it's very physical. God created us in God's image, and we are not to, hurt one another physically, for this body was created in the image of God. But in the meantime, that student would watch a hockey game, which, in my opinion, is more dangerous than playing basketball. That's man-made rule. That's a form of legalism. You're judging others based on your own law, and so you become a judge of the law. Remember that that prerogative to judge belongs to God alone, who is the only one lawgiver and judge. He's our sovereign judge, the absolute judge, the one who will judge the living and the dead. In Proverbs chapter 8, we are told, I have counsel, and God is speaking here, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. In short, it is God who appoints kings to rule. And when they make a decree, they do so according to His providence. When they reign in dependence of His power. For He is our absolute judge. And James says, this judge is the one who is able to save and able to destroy, both temporally and eternally. That is to say, God can save those who are being slandered temporally. But at the same time, it is also our God who saves us eternally, who can grant us eternal deliverance. And so James concludes, who are you to judge your neighbor? So why we must not speak evil against one another? Well, because when we do so, we become a judge. First, of our brother. Second, of the law. And then third, of the lawgiver. And then briefly, James adds this another reason why we must not slander one another. Look at the last part of verse 11. You are not, or but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. You know what James is trying to point out here? Our main business in Christian life is not to look for mistakes of others, but to be doers of the law. That's what we need to do. We need to be faithful to God's word. We need to strive for righteousness. We need to give all what we have and our best to keep God's law. Again, not for our salvation, but for our sanctification. To keep His law as a token of our gratitude for what He has already done for us in Christ. And so, as I end this message, I will give you two concluding remarks. Here's the first one. If you have been a victim of a slander, gossip, or even false accusation, maintain your good conscience and behavior. When men speak ill of you, live so that nobody will believe them. And remember the words of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. God will put the slanderers to shame. So I encourage you, just continue serving the Lord. You will always have a gossiper around you, a slanderer, a person who is very judgmental and critical. Don't let them stop you from worshiping the Lord. And finally, remember, James is talking to believers, my brothers. It is very much possible that as a Christian, this is one of your weaknesses. Maybe you have noticed about yourself that critical, judgmental spirit. Maybe you're not fully aware. Maybe until you heard this message. Well, if James has described you here, James is also calling you to repent of your sin. And that before you criticize your brother or sister in the Lord, think twice, if not thrice. Let me end with this illustration. An officer on the battlefield aimed his cannon toward what he thought was the distant enemy. Just before he fired, the commander, looking through his field glasses, shouted, Your aim seems perfect, but stop! Stop! They are not the enemy. They are our own people. Did you ever think that when you aim criticism at God's people so thoughtlessly, you are actually aiming your cannon at the Lord of your brethren? And when that happens, maybe that's one of the saddest things that can happen in the life of the church, where members speak evil against each other. Oh, may the Lord deliver us as a congregation from this kind of sin. Let us pray. Lord, we all stand guilty before you. We admit that sometimes we have not been wise in the way we have used our tongue. Instead of using our tongue to encourage our brother or sister in the Lord, we use it to discourage them. Instead of using our tongue to praise your holy name, we use it to gossip about others. Instead of using it to sing praises to your most excellent name, we use it to slander others. Oh Lord, please forgive us and keep us from this kind of sin. Indeed, Lord, guard our tongue that we will only speak that which is pleasing and edifying, pleasing to you and edifying to your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.